I'm so excited that we have Innovate Digital Solutions as a sponsor of HeCast this season. Innovate Digital Solutions provides anything that an office might need, hardware, software, IT, copy machines, things like that. They make an office run more smooth and they're really good at it. But one of the things that I love about Innovate, their founders, Andre and Katia Brasso, they're people that don't just believe it's important to build a strong business, but also to take that success and build the strong community around them. They really have a heart for what HeChanged is doing. People they love have gone through some of the stuff that we talk about on this show. Andre and Katia both believe that you can build a life worth living, and there are these evidence-based solutions that can help build that life. We're so excited to be in partnership with Innovate Digital Solutions, and HeChanged It is better for it, and we hope you will be too. Go to innovate.ca and check them out. Welcome to HeCast, the official podcast of HeChanged It. As always, I am Mike Chisholm. As always, I am so excited to be here to talk to interesting people about the world of mental health and where we're at and where we're going and all of that fun stuff. We're at a very cool place in the life cycle of HeCast because now we are gathering so many of the people in our first 100 and some odd episodes. It was like, hey, will you come back? Will you please come back? Will you please come back? We'd love to have you back. Finally, we are starting to do that. We're starting to have some of our previous guests come back and give us updates and catch up a little bit. Earl Pereira has been on our show. Please go back and not now, obviously, go back after you finish this episode. Go back and watch Earl's episode that he shot with us a couple of years back. Former member of Widemouth Mason. Now the Steadies is his steady. And we're just really, really excited to catch up a little bit. I've watched him perform in that time and just really, really grateful that. Thank you for coming back on HeCast,
so
man.
So great to be back. Appreciate finally. You. Yeah. We never gave up. We knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, it almost took a couple years. It almost did once and then didn't end up. But now I'm really, really grateful that you're back here. And thank you very much for taking time. Because when you guys are touring now is
it's
a little
tough.
Bit. It's
you don't have, you just don't have enough time. Yeah. So that's why it was perfect for me knowing I was going to be here for a few extra days. Yeah. Like the first thing I wanted to do was come and talk to you guys. So this is, here we are.
We appreciate it.
So thank you for having me back.
No.
I really appreciate being here.
Thanks, Earl. This is great. I guess first thing we're going to lead off with, sure, is because I know the answer. Mm-hmm. How are things going with the Steadies?
You know, better than ever. I think we've been building it for so many years. And I always hear the stories of like, you know, bands I look up to, like you can name any band, but let's say a band, let's say like No Doubt off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Because I heard the story recently. You know, it's sometimes it takes being together for 10, 12 years before things finally start taking off. And I think I'm seeing that right now with our band, and it's getting pretty exciting because things that have always wanted to happen for us are starting to happen. Mm-hmm. I think us being active during the pandemic, all the work we've done leading up to that as well. I mean, I started the band in 2011, mm-hmm, halfway through 2011. So it's been going. And it's been, hasn't been easy, but, we didn't quit during the pandemic. We just kept pushing. And I mean, that's when I came here, right?
Yep.
We were on tour.
Yep.
One of the few bands that were still trying to tour during those times. I remember we got even featured on Canadian Musician Magazine as the only band on tour right now. They're exaggerating a little bit, but they weren't that far off. There wasn't many of us willing to do it. And I think it's really paying off for us now because the momentum just kept on rolling and I think it just showed people and ourselves too, and fans and music promoters and anyone in the industry that we love doing this. Mm-hmm. And this is, we're a band that you can count on, you know, and we're going to show up.
Not just show up, but you're also going to bring it. I mean, I my wife and I talked about this after we saw you live. The experience of seeing the Steadies live, it is a fantastic experience. That is, you guys, I don't know how you're able to do it, but you create energy. I don't know if it's the reggae kind of fusion style that you have, but you are able to create energy. And you literally give it to people. It's contagious. People want to get up out of their seats. They want to come out and they want to start dancing and grooving to your music. Mm-hmm. Such a positive, happy vibe. in a time, I think that we need more of that. I honestly think, like, I love seeing an act and actually feeling more energized after I see them. And you guys certainly fit that bill. Is that something when you're writing music that you try and build into songs, or is that just naturally there because of the chemistry that you have?
A little bit of both. Mm-hmm. And the third thing would probably just be my natural personality.
Yeah.
Like I'm a pretty positive person. Yeah. I like having fun. I like when people are having a good time. So, you know, I'm a good host,
yeah.
You know, at my house even, right? I want to make sure it's probably like the Filipino background in me, you know, we're always trying to please everybody and yeah. make sure everyone's fed and this and that. I take that vibe into my music, and, you know, it's just, I love bringing people together. I love raising people up. I love like people leaving energized and feeling good. And it just so happened, I think it stuck out more during the pandemic because people did need that. And bands like us, our music in particular, and our vibe was just what everyone wanted.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted and needed. We needed it too. But I think it's just that kind of give and take relationship and with a crowd, you know, it's that energy transfer. And I just felt even our show here in town that we here to play, it just felt like everyone was connected together. And that's my favorite shows because it gets pretty magical, you know, to be honest. And that's something you just can't replicate in any other form of platform, you know. No. It's just like, that's why people go to live shows.
Absolutely.
Right. You can't just watch that on TV and get that same experience. It's like, you got to be there.
Absolutely. Now, that being said, you also feel it when you listen to your over the digital airwaves, when you listen to your stuff. Where's the best place to find you, and what's the latest release and all that? Let's do a little plugging here first.
Oh, sure. The best places to find us are probably on our social media platforms.
Yep.
Our Facebook and Instagram are usually kind of the hot spots.
That's just the steady.
TikTok is starting to grow a little bit, yeah. But we need to do a little more work on that. Trying to grow our TikTok and YouTube. I think those are so key. Today's modern, you know,
yep.
social settings. And our website's thesteadies.ca. Websites are tough, though. They're so hard to maintain.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, because you put so much attention on your social media, your website kind of gets.
Yeah, it goes left, into the background.
Gets
yeah.
left out. It's like, hey, remember me? I'm the one, I should be the place everyone goes to. So we're trying to be more conscious about that and driving people to the site. And so we put out a live concert recording from the summer.
Yep.
It was at Nest Creek Festival, and people can download it free, and all they have to do is, you know, sign up to our mailing list, which is kind of nice because then yep. they get a bunch of new followers, and they're like, oh yeah, I'll get this new record. All you get is give them my email. Done. So it's like it's working.
Yeah. Well, and then people will know when you're coming to town.
Yeah.
Like that's what you want when you're a music fan. I there's no worse feeling than when an act that you love has come through your neck of the woods and you find out about it after the fact.
Yeah, that's not fun.
That's not fun at all.
That happens to me sometimes too. And it's just like, ah, I can't believe I didn't know that was happening. So yeah, there's those things. Spotify, Apple Music, all the regular I mean, when you release music now digitally, if you can, anything that you listen to, you know, Deezer or Tidal yep. or anything, it'll be on all of them.
Yep.
So Google Play. Yeah.
So you're available now. This is a great segue because I want to talk about the grind that you're in right now. You know, you started it in 2011 after that previous chapter kind of finished. But the original grind that you were in with Wide Mouth,
yeah.
And watching what you did back then, we were talking just before the cameras turned on, we were talking about music videos and growing up, it was MTV or Much Music or whatever. And that culture that was there, mm-hmm. That was the goal. The goalposts have moved now. You were so young when you guys were doing that original grind to get to kind of that chapter and where that chapter went. How is the grind now compared to the grind then? Are there a lot of similarities or is it a completely different game?
I would say it's a completely different game.
Yep.
The only similarities really is that you still need to be really, really good. to be on top, yeah. Right? When it's, when it comes down to it, that's really what it is. It's just now there's a platform for the, a little more level playing field. You know, anyone can start up a Spotify artist account.
Yep.
Anyone can load up their music on there. Anyone can, you know, self-promote and do all those things to get, be known.
Yep.
And you can just do it by sitting in your basement, being at home and be a star, you know?
Yep.
You're either a YouTube star or a Spotify star, whatever it is.
So that wasn't available back then.
It wasn't available back then. It was like, you know, Much Music was the cream of the crop to be, you know, that fortunate to perform at the Much Music Studios was like the mecca of of Canadian music. It's like, if you did that, you made it.
Yep.
Right. I remember feeling that the first time we played in one of those, in the Much Music Studio, when, you know, all this, all the high school kids are looking, watching through the glass,
yep,
and they got their school bags, and I'm like, oh my God, that was you guys.
Yeah.
Now I'm in here. So that's when I'm like, yeah, this is it. We did it. We were doing it.
Yep.
We made it. And it's harder to feel that way now. So I think the only thing you can really compare is if you maybe get on, like satellite radio or something like that.
Yeah.
Cause that to me is the new mecca of the industry right now. More so than just any other radio format.
Right.
Because satellite is so mysterious.
Yeah.
It's so like, you know, there's no email, there's no phone number.
Nope.
Like, you either know somebody there or you don't, you know, and only the artists that are deserving of being on there are on it.
Yeah.
Right. So luckily we're about to be on it.
I know we were talking about that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if you were going to go into it on camera. Yeah, or not.
Know,
so
new,
yeah.
So we released some music in the past year, but we didn't really release things in a really formal way where we had, you know, people working for us that were working hard and promoting it. We just do what everyone else is doing. You just put it out on your social media and on your streaming platforms. You're like, hey, we got a song out. But now with the, you know, we're working with people in the US, companies that get your music onto radio, and especially that radio. And so, yeah, our song Philophobia just is, it got serviced yesterday. So it's going to be, it's pretty exciting to be finally doing all that stuff. And then we'll follow up with touring. And I think that's where the similarities come in, where the bands and artists that get, are going to be given these opportunities are ones that the people that are giving you the opportunities know that you're an actual working artist.
Yep.
You're not just doing this in your room and you're never going to ever play a show again.
Yeah.
Ever, you know, because there's a lot of those artists.
Absolutely.
Too, right?
Yeah.
So, and we're like, nope, we're there. We're a legit working band, and they can count on us that if we're going to be played at some college in California, that they're probably going to meet us by the end of this year.
Yeah.
You know, we'll be there shaking their hand and rocking a show.
That's, and that's a very, very good point, because I mean, there's so many aspects to a working band. And I mean, sometimes, like, if you could be you can uber produce a phenomenal song in your basement, that kind of a thing, that does not mean you can go out and perform it and translate it. And that's the one thing I love about your music. Many times I love a band when the live experience is actually even better. You crave the live experience. And when you listen to the studio stuff, it brings you back to the live experience. And you guys certainly fit that bill and more.
Definitely. We are that way. Wild Mouth was like that way too.
Very much. Yeah, yes, yeah,
for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, we're your live band, but I think that's the best combination to be, for success in this industry, is just to be, as you know, a live band that, people really want to come see.
Yep.
You've got that down, but then you also have got, there's really great live bands. For example, the person we're working with in the US, he's in California, and he was telling us, he's like, there's a lot of bands like you guys there that have a similar fusion of sounds, but none of them have songs that can be on the radio like you guys do. They don't have songs that a lot of people have the potential to be heard and loved by many.
Yep.
Right. And that, I think that's a big difference. If you kind of have both of those things, then, you know, you can end up being like the Police or something like that, where they were to me, they were my favorite band.
Yep.
They were the epitome of the greatest live performing band, musicality wise.
Yep.
And then they had the hits to back it up too. But, you know, that's what you strive for. You know, no one's ever going to be them again.
No, absolutely. But it's a hell of a goal.
Yep. And that's always been in the back of my mind to just try to achieve that.
Going back to, you know, then versus now, your early 20s, you're going through this, going from CD club to CD club, trying to figure out, finding your voice, finding all these things. You get your little inches of success, you know, and it starts to pop. Safe to say, many of us guys, when we're in our 20s, we feel invulnerable. We feel like, yeah, no, this is all, or we're blissfully naive or ignorant. It's like, you know what? Yeah, I'm not thinking about tomorrow at all. Now, but when we, as most guys know, when they get into their 40s and 50s and whatnot, they got a little bit of wisdom behind them, a little bit of experience. I'm just curious, building it now compared to building it then, you know, we throw mental health into it, all of that stuff. Does it get more anxiety ridden, that sort of thing now? Is it harder that way mentally? Is there a difference between the two time frames?
Definitely. Yeah. Huge difference. Just, you know, the maturity level you're at when you're in your 20s, even for myself, going through the golden era of Canadian music.
Absolutely.
Which I feel like the luckiest artist in Canada. Some days I just feel like I got to experience that whole thing and be right
so
there.
Young.
Yeah, be right there with everybody. Yeah, like all my 20s, basically, right? And it was tough because it was also the golden era. I was also led to the beginning of the end of the music industry.
Were there when Napster and all that stuff showed up and changed the entire industry. That was right during your heyday.
I was in the you know, my mid-20s to late-20s when that happened.
Yep.
So to go from such a high, you know, doing all the things we got to do and, you know, the big shiny tunes and the Edgefest tours and and then bands like Rolling Stones and things like that, all those amazing, huge things I got to do, much music. Mm-hmm. And then to have it all taken away from you, just like that was... that would send anybody into a bit of a depression. So, and me being not a very negative person at all, I've always been able to, you know, stay positive through everything. I had a hard time staying positive during those days.
Yeah,
like it affected me quite a bit. Where, you know, almost just quit playing music but it's just that's what happens to you. You know, just you get so dejected from it, you know, where, you know, you had people that were all telling you how much they loved you and how great you are. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, getting dropped from the label that was supposed to love you and be your champion all those years. Cause you didn't sell enough.
Mm-hmm.
Your sales didn't hit a certain mark. Tough on someone in their 20s. So, you know, I think, to be able to get through that and come out on the other side was just a testament to, I think just the work that we had put in to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt like in my, even before anyone knew what Wide Mouth was or anything, we were slugging it out, playing some pretty nasty places.
Yep.
Going through some pretty hard things. I think we touched them on, put on this a little bit last time I was here, but you know, a lot of racism, hostile territories and really bad situations, you know, fearing for your life type situations. And I think that kind of prepared me to be able to handle when that happened in the music industry, because that was, as tough that was, it wasn't threatening to my life, you know? I wasn't scared.
Perspective.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I could always hang my hat on that and knowing that, hey, it could be worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I just told myself, this could be worse. You're still a musician that gets to have a career in music. You just need to find another way to, if this is what you want to do for the rest of your career, you're going to have to figure out something out to get there. And to me, figuring that out was starting my own band and creating my own music and starting from scratch.
Yeah.
And reinventing myself in a way, right? So
easier said than done.
Yes. Yeah.
Easier said than done. Like that's not the easiest thing in the world.
It's not. No. I'm now being older in my 40s and looking back on all that, dealing with different things though. You know, it's funny. I kind of laugh at the things that used to bother me back then.
Yeah.
Because if anything, it was the opposite of what you were saying. When I was in my 20s, I was always looking ahead at like, why aren't we doing this?
Oh.
We should be touring Europe. We should be, you know, there was always more you need. We achieve this, but there's still so much more to do, you guys. You know, that's kind of how I was thinking. Whereas me now, it's like, I still have that. I still want to achieve things and do, have lots of drive. Don't get me wrong. It's just that now I just appreciate like the ride.
Yeah.
Like I'm enjoying this. Even the small things of knowing that we're going to be on, you know, radio in the US and we're going to start making some inroads down there is like, that gets me excited and just enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's, it's almost like, if you compare it to sports, cause I'm a huge sports guy.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I'm a team sports guy, if anything, right? It's very similar, you know, to building a team from the ground up into like a championship team, you know, where you weren't even in the big leagues yet. Mm-hmm. And then to go from amateur to pro. And then once you're in pro, it's like, okay, we're at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
How do we win a championship?
Yep.
Right. And then so where I'm at now is like about halfway through that, we're building our way up to the equivalent of winning a championship. It's just that now I'm like just really enjoying everything. Nothing really bothers me anymore about anything like that.
You're a really present guy. I noticed that the first time that we met as well. I noticed it when you're on stage, you're extremely present. Like you're in that moment. Like even like right now, like here, like greeting you outside again. Like I just noticed that about you. You're extremely present. And I think that that's a gifting or a skill that would serve a lot of folks. I mean, a lot of folks, they live in the future and that can create anxiety, you know, at extreme levels. They live in the past that can create depression, in extreme cases. Being present is one of the ways to kind of really, really, we don't know what's around the corner anyway, right? And it's hard to telegraph it, predict it. We can work our butt off. So it's a better future, but we don't know what's going to happen. And being present is one of those things that really is a silver bullet.
And it's not so much, it can look like a skill, but it really just comes down to like going through things, having experienced a lot in your life. And the older we get, I think the most we're going to really experience is loss, right?
Yeah.
We're going to lose people the older we get. It keeps happening. People close to you. And
you just lost your dad, I think, the last time you were here.
Yeah, I lost my dad just before we did the last one. And that was massive for me, right? And I just posted actually about something I never really talked about to anyone except my siblings and maybe one of my best friends and that I'm finally kind of at peace about because the anniversary of his passing was just a couple weeks ago and passed away 4 years ago. But I was actually the one that actually was responsible for trying to save his life. Like my mom called me in the middle of the night. I had just gotten home from a long road trip. And something was wrong.
Yeah.
She was like, he's on the ground. And I got there and I told this story and I never really had taken CPR. I never had any training. You know, I wish I had. Person on the phone, 911 operator, was walking me through it all until the paramedics showed up. So I was basically trying to save my dad's life, and couldn't.
You never forget that.
So that was tough to deal with, but you know, I've come on the other side of that, and to the point where now I can share that story, and people friends are, there's a lot of support for that. And I did deal with it too with therapy, you know, just during COVID, it had to be like phone call therapy because I couldn't go to the offices. Right. So I was like talking on the phone to the therapist. And
did you find therapy helped?
Very much.
What yeah, was it about therapy much. That, because again, you know, we're, much of our audience are guys that haven't necessarily been through it because of the stigmas that come with it.
Right.
And to hear someone like yourself talk about that and how it does help. What was it about it that, that helped you?
Well, for the main thing was that my therapist was good at explaining to me that I have PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which I didn't realize was what I was actually experiencing. Right.
Yeah.
And no, it's not something you can just read about and understand. So for her to be able to explain it to me and always be reiterating every session that this is why you're feeling this way. It's a not normal feeling that you're going through. And it's because of the shock and everything that you had to go through. So that was really helpful to know that it's like, you know, you beat yourself up over it, thinking that it should have been able to save them, you know, but, she explained it to me that it's like, no, it's like the fact that you were there trying and you didn't, she said a lot of people would have even, you know, been in shock themselves.
You would have froze up
and not have been able to do anything. And you actually just were calm and did everything. She's like that was, you know, if your dad could be here to tell you that, he would say he would have been proud.
Yeah.
Saying things like that to me, it was like, okay, I could, you know, hearing that more and more makes you feel like you can start feeling a little bit better about it as time goes on, you know?
I want to talk a little bit about creativity and creative people and how you can take, can you take a moment like that and turn it into a song with the type of music that you guys make with the type of like, I mean,
absolutely. Yeah.
And have you?
Yeah, exactly. That's a lot of those experiences, are in a lot of the new music. And for sure, I mean, there's a song we released this last year that was going to get re-released again, but it's called Champion. And that has to do with, I mean, I wrote that with my bandmate that I started the band with. Mm-hmm. He passed away in 2017.
Yeah.
Pretty much a similar way my dad did. They both had brain aneurysms. But yeah, that was something important. People can feel the emotion in that song because, you know, his guitar work is still on the track. Like, because we wrote it, we recorded it before he died. And,
absolutely.
And
for
sure. And you can feel it.
Right? Immortality right
totally,
there.
Totally. And, you know, things like loss. My dad, there's a song we wrote called Summer Never Says Goodbye. And that one's about my dad. And, how basically at least where I'm from, summer, that was kind of the metaphor, how people, when people leave you, they can be gone and you won't get a goodbye, you know, like it's usually like all of a sudden summer turns to fall in one day and you're just like, where did it go?
Yep.
You know? So that's very definitely, something that it was tribute to my dad. And that's what I mean, you know, like I wasn't always present. So the loss is kind of what makes you appreciate every moment. Cause like, I'm not getting any younger either. Right.
No.
Like none of us are. So you just got to live life and appreciate it. Could be taken away from you at any given time.
Yep.
So just got to, you know, live your life for yourself and for the people that you've lost too, cause they're not here anymore. So, you know, they're sort of living vicariously through you now.
Absolutely.
That's kind of how I feel, right?
Yeah.
I feel when I accomplish something that Juice is like, is cheering in the background. My dad is, you know, high-fiving, being like, yes, you guys are doing it, you know? So, you know, doing it just for yourself. Really, when it comes to relationships, I was married for 10 years. We remained best friends, and it's still sad. It was very sad. One of the hardest things I had to do was let go of that relationship, and we just turned it into something else. It didn't end. It just morphed into something new.
Yeah,
yeah. And So a new song that we haven't released yet. It's called Let Go. Definitely touches upon that, and hopefully, and it's just more about that. Sometimes, you know, having at least had the feeling of someone that really loved you and you really loved is just as special as, like, you can't, it can never be taken away from you.
No,
you'll always, you have that experience. You know what it feels like.
Yep.
And that it should be seen more as a blessing than something sad. Right.
Yep.
And so I performed that at a house concert on Sunday night.
Yeah.
And some people were crying. I think everyone knows everything.
Did you precurse it and say this is what this song is about?
I did.
Oh man.
Yeah. So it's just
everybody in that audience that's gone through a loss like that or a breakup like that is applying it to them and their experience, and oh wow.
Totally. Right. So
but that's that communal experience. That's why we do this show. Like that's what He Changed It is all about. It's the idea that guys specifically, but I mean She Changed It's coming, We Changed It is all, it's all coming. But the idea with He, which is you know, the tip of the spear of this whole thing, is that it's a place where guys can go and Candy and her team, they talk about the take something that you need, leave something that you know.
Yep.
And that's exactly what you're talking about right there. It's that communal experience where you're literally trading back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
While they're not all identical things, they're relatable things. And we can get through life a heck of a lot better if we don't just isolate ourselves and we can relate.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And
music does.
I hate to, you know, single out guys, but I mean, if anything, it's like, I think men in general have a hard time expressing that. And so I think that's why this podcast has been so popular. It's like, it's gives men a platform to be able to feel like it's okay.
Yeah.
You can talk about stuff, you know? I might not have been okay to talk about some of the things I did in this interview, in this podcast 5 years ago, you know? So it's getting better.
Yeah.
You know? Like the stigma is going away.
Yes. Well, and that's if there's one thing that the team wants to help get rid of or help do is get rid of that stigma.
Yes.
Because there are so many guys, and I mean, I want to get into that with talking about creativity in a second here, but there's so many guys right now that are living these quiet lives of desperation because they missed something along the way, and they don't feel good about even asking that question. They don't know what it is that they missed. It's a purpose thing. There's so many guys out there that are in middle age right now. They don't know what their purpose is. They're flailing a little bit. Creatives are ones that in particular, my heart goes out to, because, you know, we live in a society right now where, I mean, okay, you could maybe go out and be a graphic artist for a newspaper. Look how old I am. You could maybe go be a graphic artist for a website or something like that, or digital, if you're an artist, that kind of a thing. There are ways that you can do things, but you've taken the hard road. Like, you have taken the hard road when it comes to, you know, wanting to take who you are and get it out there. But that being said, you're also a guy that lives a pretty authentic life. You're doing what you want to do and you're grinding out every single day so you can do what you feel that you were meant to do. Like, you have this thing in you and it's got outlets like crazy. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
So many guys out there don't have that. And part of it is because I just think that in our society, we don't encourage creativity so much. And I'm certain you're aware of that. Yeah, I'm certain you're aware, totally, like you're so grateful. That. You're so grateful. Yeah, it just pours out of you. But there's a lot of guys out there who don't have the opportunity to, or don't feel like they have the opportunity to do that. And then they don't talk about it.
And I think it's just that whole masculinity thing too. Cause I think, being artistic is, something that goes against natural masculinity, right? It's more of a feminine side of you, right? And that, I think that's probably why people aren't open to sharing their creativity as much as others. But the ones that do, you know, I think are usually like the more free-spirited people. I don't know if anyone follows. I'm not really big astrologist, but people keep telling me when they find out, they're like, when's your birthday?
Yeah, yeah.
And I tell them December 3rd. They're like, oh, makes so much sense. You're Sagittarius. No wonder. Just seeing you up there, they're like, and then I had someone tell me that a lot of like famous singers and famous artists were Sagittarius.
Yep.
And some of the most famous people in the world, apparently.
Yeah.
Like Oprah and stuff like that. So
the real extroverts, the
peacocks
of the world.
Really outgoing, creative people. Yep. And I just feel like that's always been who I am. But at the same time, it's not always been easy to share my creativity because it's like soul bearing stuff.
Yeah.
And it can be pretty, especially if you, I think the big worry of sharing is someone hearing it and not liking it.
Rejection.
Yeah. The rejection.
Yep.
Right. So you don't want that feeling. So you don't better just not show anybody, or you're only showing certain people, but not the rest of the world. You know, it's okay for a couple of your friends to hear it, but maybe you don't want everyone else to hear it. And, I used to be like that to some degree, and I think you just get over it. I got over it. The best way was to just start becoming more confident in my creativity. Once I started feeling that my creativity was actually really good, and I'm like, I actually really like what I'm hearing right now.
Yep.
You know, I'm like feeling proud of yourself. It's like, I think I just wrote a really good song.
Yeah,
and you're like, wow. I wrote this, and you're like, this is like, I want to shout it off the top of a mountain, you know, like I want it to be on the radio. I want everyone to hear it. I think it's going to affect people in a positive way. And I think once you start getting those juices flowing, it can really, ignite, that passion and you lose the fear.
Yeah.
Of being worried what people are going to think about it.
Well, that's the thing. I think when you jump into it, suddenly it doesn't matter what level you're at. I know for me personally, like I worshiped music growing up, worshiped it. And like you said, it's the golden age. And you and I are very, very similar in the bands that we loved, growing up. And I mean, I loved it. I wanted to be there, be doing it, be part of it. Didn't know how, wasn't sure how the shoehorned. But the moment I got a guitar in my 20s and I learned 8 chords or whatever, suddenly as I would do that alone, stuff would just start coming out of me. And it didn't matter if I never got to a stage, never got to a karaoke bar, never got to a whatever, but at least scratching that itch helped ignite that and help release some stuff. I was going to ask you about your writing process, and I'm fascinated by it. Like, do you prefer to write alone or do you prefer to collaborate, or is it a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, and there's stuff that you have done yourself that has never kind of seen the light of day, but it's just out?
Yeah, there definitely is. It's sometimes, and that's the whole thing about creativity is that some of it's meant to be shared.
Yeah.
Some of it's just meant to stay with you. And I think knowing the difference between what that is, mm-hmm. for, let's say, a song, could really make things really easy for your life and happy, or can really bother you, make things really like a living hell for you. Cause how I say that is like, so I see there are two ways of writing songs.
Okay. Right?
One, like you just said, is a song you write either for yourself.
Yep.
And there's a song you write for other people to say, that's my song. That's my favorite. That's my song now. It's not yours anymore. It's someone else's song.
Yeah.
Right? You got to be careful that a song of yours that is actually meant to be yours isn't one you're trying to make everyone else like. Because that's when it can get really bad. That's when you can get frustrating. It's like, why does nobody like this song?
Oh, yeah.
And it was because it's going over everyone's heads. No one can relate to it. It's just for you.
Yep.
Right. Whereas, so I think recognizing the differences and then, so for me, when I collaborate, it's always got to be a song that's going to be for someone else. Cause if you go into a collaboration, with something that you're against changing it.
Yeah.
Right. Then it's not going to bode well for a good collaboration.
Right.
And I've seen it happen in writing rooms and things like that. So, so I always got to make sure my songs that I'm allowing to be free to be for everybody are the ones that I'm going to either share to the world or collaborate with. So, and I love the process of both. I love writing alone. I love writing with my bandmates, and I just love writing with different artists of completely different styles. And I just get off on the creative process now. I think writing used to be literally the worst thing I was at. I was not good at writing. No. And I was self-conscious about it.
Right.
I think, you know, I mean, in my old band, I felt really self-conscious about it. I felt like every idea I was bringing to the table, it would get shot down.
Yep.
And you feel like I suck. All of my ideas suck.
Yep.
I'm not good at this.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stick to playing bass and jumping around and getting the crowd hype, because that's all I'm good for, you know?
There's a Dave Grohl quote about that. The best way for a drummer to get kicked out of a band. Hey, guys, I got a new idea for a song.
Exactly, man. That's what I'm talking about. You know, but then you start doing things on your own, right? Yeah. And you are building that confidence. And I started taking, we were talking about workshops earlier. The thing that changed my creative process, turned it on his head.
Yep.
Was meeting Ralph Murphy. He was my songwriting mentor, my guru, and rest in peace, Ralph. We lost him in 2021. And he's like, he's written like a number one hit in every decade since the 60s.
Let's give Ralph some love. What are we talking about here?
And that counts like the 2020s.
Too. Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, like,
what are some Taylor of his songs? Swift, okay. Brooks, okay. There we go. Yep.
Everybody. Wow. Right. He's been co-wrote on everything. So he kind of knows what he's talking about. He's the one that told me the difference between the two types of songs, and you got to be careful.
The one for yourself, the one for everybody else. Yeah. That you're just,
and I'm like, that I makes love that. So much sense.
Yeah.
You know, cause I've been in bands with people that feel like it's a song for themselves should be a song that should be a single. And you're just like, no one's going to like this one.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, they don't. And then, yeah, feelings get hurt. And, you know,
because it's so darn personal.
It's so personal. It's,
yeah.
Or it's a song that's so personal that any you hear it a way it could be better.
Yep.
And that gets shut down. You're like, no, chorus isn't changing. Oh, Don't touch any words.
Yeah.
You're like, well, it could be a better song if you did. But so meeting Ralph really, really, really got that. And I met him, I think, in about 2011.
Yep.
And right when I started the studies. So it was from that point on, it was just like every time I write a song, it's like, hey, what would Ralph do? That's the first thing I think of. Like, what would he do to my song? Because I was a performance coach at a music conference, and he was a songwriting coach. And he just did his seminar, and I was blown away. and I wanted to pull him aside and, you know, get him for myself to help me out.
Yep.
Right. So when we're sitting at a bar, cause we were catching a flight home, and I'm like, hey man, think you could take a look at my songs? And I'm like, what do you think of my songs that I performed, at the conference, as mentors had to put our money where our mouths were and actually get up and perform
fantastic
as well.
Yeah.
Just to show how it's done in a way. Right. But then you get a little nervous. You're like, oh boy, it's better be good. So I thought I did a really good job with a couple of originals I had at the time. And Ralph was like, you performed them so well. Like everyone was engaged, and he's like, you're a born performer.
Yep.
He's like, your songs will never be played on the radio. I'm like, oh, wow. And he's like, have they ever? I'm like, not yet. Not my own songs yet. And he's like, well, do you want to know why? I'm like, okay. He's like, okay. Puts a napkin down, gives me a pen. And he's like, write out the lyrics for both songs you played. And I did. And he took his red pen, and he was like a school teacher. He was like, you weren't describing what this was. And like, what does this mean? What are you even trying to say here? And I'm just a master. I'm like, oh my God, you're right. You know,
in seconds can break down a song.
Yeah,
like, and
never
just,
leave things up to the listener to just try to figure out on their own. Some things, yeah. But for the most part, it's like, you know, you really want them to know what this song's about, don't you? And he said, like, he'd always say something like, your songs are great for 10 o'clock at night, but they're not right for 7 a.m. 7 a.m. is when people are focused on your lyrics and the story. 10 o'clock at night, people have had some drinks. They're there for the vibe and the energy. Yeah. And he's like, that's when you thrive. He's like, now you got to be able to figure out how to do it at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh God, mind blown right now. How do I do this? So I'm still working on it, but that's been my life's goal since then, is to figure out how to write songs that are going to hit people here and make them feel like, I love that song. This is my song.
Let's go back to Let Go for a second. So I assume that one started out as a for Earl song. I assume that one started out as a song. But if you have that mentality though, you're still trying to make it relatable. And then at some point you're like, okay, it is relatable. And you kind of introduce other people to it. Do I have that right? Is that
it? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I definitely wanted it to be a song. I knew it was personal. So I was like, is it going to be something? How am I going to react if someone wants to edit it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There you go.
And change things.
Yeah.
And, luckily no one did.
Yeah.
You know, it was, if anything, it was just more musically, not so much lyrically.
Yeah.
And I think that's when I started to realize I was on the right track with this song. I think even Ralph would have approved of it lyrically.
Aww.
And and then, yeah, you know, it's just one of those things where when it's something that relatable, you know, sometimes people need to hear it, you know, and I just felt like I can't keep this to myself. It has to be for everybody.
And that's the other question. You know, you throw a song out there, you know, that's your song about your breakup, which was a very personal thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very specific song. It's about a breakup and you kind of precurse it when you played it live the other day, that sort of thing. Are you okay when people make that their song then?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I want it to be someone else's favorite song.
You like that's the one I lean on when I think about whatever it was. And I mean, that's
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, isn't it amazing about music how, and I mean, I've you and I could probably go down a very deep rabbit hole talking about what certain songs mean to us in certain places, certain moods, certain, we think about certain events, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the wonderful thing about music and how the fact that you get to do that for people, that's gotta be a pretty crazy cool feeling.
It's so cool. It's such a blessing. You know, I feel like, so fortunate to not only do I get to do that I've been able to do it this long.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, you know, I feel like I'm still improving.
Yeah.
You know, which is the coolest part about music. I think that's why I chose it in the first place.
Yeah. 'Cause
you do something like that, by the time you're my age, you've been retired for years.
Yep.
You're going to get worse.
Yep.
At it.
Yep.
And then music's the opposite. By the time you're my age, it's like you could be getting towards your master's.
Yeah, you're more learned, music, you're better at it.
You know,
yeah.
Right? So I feel like songwriting was the thing I wanted to turn into my weakness.
Yeah.
And Michael Jordan said it best, you know, that's when he became Michael Jordan, was when he turned those weaknesses into his strengths in his game. And I feel like songwriting was a weakness, and I've been turning into a strength, and I feel like it is now. I feel so confident in it. I feel like I could be in a room with any writer, even of levels above me, and I'd be able to hold my own. Mm-hmm. Or I could at least sit down and write a song, either on my own or with anybody in one sitting.
Mm-hmm.
I'll come out of it with something pretty good.
I want to be very careful how I ask this question. And maybe, you know what? Maybe this might be one of the things that gets edited out, but I'm fascinated to know your perspective on this.
Okay.
It's a little bit deep. It's a little bit,
that's what this is all about.
It's a little bit spicy. I just know that your perspective on this, and if it's just for me and I get to hear it, then great.
Okay.
You and I are both Gen Xers. We both have seen our lives through the lens of the times that we lived in then and now. And we also see generations past us. You're playing for them. Many of the generations you play for are, you know, half our age kind of a thing. You're playing for Gen Zers and a lot of opinions out there, a lot of things that, you know, concepts that have been introduced by this generation to all generations for everybody. One of them being privilege. The other one being cultural appropriation and things like that. I'm super curious because, I mean, when you're in Widemouth, you know, going through some of these, for lack of a better term, these, well, I'm not even going to use that word, these small town bars and some of these people that you saw, like KKK people, like you, and you alluded to it earlier, racism and things like that. Our generation grew up seeing a lot of that stuff and we've seen a lot of it refined, thank goodness. But now we live in this time where there's a lot of people looking at the not so distant past through today's lenses and they're throwing judgments and things out there. You're a Filipino guy that was in a blues band, for lack of a better term. Now you're a Filipino guy in a reggae band. Has anybody ever said anything to you about, oh, cultural appropriation or any of that sort of stuff? Has that ever been a thing where people have not given you static for it, but asked you about it?
No, man, Jamaicans love me, man. It's the greatest feeling ever. It's the greatest feeling ever when I get some, like, you know, either a Rasta or you know, someone from the islands hearing our band and they come right up to me and they're like, you do us proud.
Oh,
you know, say stuff like that. And I'm like, because I'm from the islands myself, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's just
you know, Filipinos are basically the black people of Asia. They are, you know, basketball is our national sport. All the music we listen to is R&B.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And funk.
Yep.
Right. And reggae. So it's I joke, but you know, it's, I think, you got to be definitely more aware, like you got to be more aware of it and a little bit more careful too, like of how you, what you say and how you present yourself and things like that. Even though I am a person of color, it's still touchy because I'm also a Gen Xer too.
Yeah.
And, you know, things that used to be normal for us to say, which didn't mean anything by, all of a sudden you could get canceled for it in like a split second. So, you know, I don't, you know, I think music is music.
Yeah.
And, that's another part of the reason why I gravitated towards it. One thing that hasn't changed about it is that it just crosses every single barrier.
Does.
No matter.
It's the ultimate melting pot as far as I'm concerned.
It is. And, and for as far as I go, I like my goals for our music, my music and our band's music, to be the type of music that actually does. Where there's no barriers, right? Because if you come to a show, especially a festival or something like that, there's people that are dancing in the crowd of any age. They're either a little kid, or someone in 70s, and everything in between. They're of every color, and they're of every gender. Everyone feels welcome at a steady show. And that's what I want. I always want that to be the case. And actually there's another brand new song too that isn't out yet. It's called The Fifth Dimension. And I don't know if you're into that whole thing, but if anyone knows what I'm talking about, it's you know, it's like the Age of Aquarius thing, right? It's like and how we are heading there, you know, not to get super deep or cosmic on anybody, because I'm not that cosmic of a person. But I do believe in that. I do believe that the pandemic has shifted everybody in a way where you're going to go one way or the other. You stay in your 2D, 3D, or you're going to head to 5. And the people in 5, what we mean by that are the people that are open to everything. And they're now, all those closed-minded things are now gone. And when that happens, you can achieve your fullest potential too. Right? As a person individually, and then... And us as a human race, not to get too, like, you know, woke about it or anything like that, because I'm not a very super woke person either, but I understand. And there's still things that I do get. And that is definitely one of them. And one of the lines of that song is, I want to see what the world could be if we all stand up and embrace every gender, every race, because in the end, we're all the same.
Yes.
So that's right. That's
music is the great equalizer.
Yeah. We'll say it loud. Love is the way, right? Things like that. And it is love and music go hand in hand. And that's what's going to make the world go around. That's how we're going to, that's how the world's going to advance for sure.
Absolutely. Oh, I love that so much. And again, I'm always such a fan of the idea that, that, you know, the things that we are together on far outnumber the things that separate us. And if we just focused on that a little bit, music is a way of doing that. Music, it just simply is. It's a way of doing that. It can,
you don't even have to speak English.
Nope.
To feel it.
Nope.
Right? It just, like we said, it crosses every possible barrier.
Yeah.
So,
I can't thank you enough for doing this. We got to, the time goes so fast when we do these things here.
Great way to
I think so too. I mean, I could not agree more. I could not endorse your music more. And the feelings that it exudes and it brings out of people and stuff. And I think it's really cool that, you know, the idea that you touched on a couple of these songs that, it's not that reggae music doesn't talk about some of these things. It's the way that it delivers them, you know. Let Go, I'm sure, comes across. I haven't heard it yet, but I'm sure it comes across in a very upbeat, happy sort of a way.
Yeah, it's more of just a pop rock song, right? Yep. There isn't really much reggae in it or funk or anything like that. It's just, you know, it's one of those ones that are just kind of its own thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Will it come out on the next LP that you guys decide to release? Or okay.
Yeah, it is definitely. Yeah, then the next record is going to be on it, and some stuff that we're just still even writing now is on it. Stuff that we released a year ago that the rest of the world really didn't hear. Yep. Only our small fan base of hardcores have really heard it. So it's still going to be new to everybody else. So that's all going to be on one album. And I still love albums, man.
Yeah.
It's all about records. You know, you can release as many singles till the cows come home, but if you don't put out a record, you're not really an artist, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. But
No. I feel the same
way. I'm
old school too. When it comes to that stuff, there's something to taking a long play, and sitting back and like we talked about before we hit the, you know, not having the phone out, having that down and just sitting back there and just immersing yourself in a piece of music, maybe even while you do something creative. It's such a lovely, lovely thing. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking time to come and visit us. Thank you so much for embracing, He Changed It and what it is that we're trying to do. I can't thank you enough for this, Earl.
No, it's an honor to be here and talk about this and get to share all these, you know, important things that, you know, that can, people are very interesting to me. And I think interesting to most people that are going to be wanting to watch this show, right? It's like, you're going to watch it for a reason.
Yeah.
It's every episode that you do touches upon something different, but yet it all ties in together.
It's a bigger tapestry and there's no question about that. And after, I forget how many episodes we're at now, 150, whatever it is, you can see the bigger picture forming, you know, with every single one that we do. You are a big part of that. I can't thank you enough for this, Earl.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate this.
Thanks.
That's why we do the show.
Thanks,
yeah.
Team.
I mean, yeah, everybody's,
yeah. Got an amazing team too.
Absolutely. Wow. Thank you for that. And I mean, it's all Candy and her crew. That's why we do the show here, for conversations just like that. I hope that not only was there some entertainment value to this, but also some insight. And maybe we can all start thinking about ourselves. We can think about people that are around us and ways that we can all help each other be better. If you haven't downloaded the He Changed It app yet, what the heck are you waiting for? It's in the App Store already.
Get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know how to do that, folks. Everyone knows how to get apps.
HeChangedIt.com for all the info. Yep. That has been another episode of HeCast, the official podcast of He Changed It. My name is Mike Chisholm. Go change something.